10 minutes after 12. It's a little bit late, but, you know, better late than never. We've got, because we played a big long song, you see. Normally we have 1 hour of speech, but our guest says, I ain't here for an hour. we were expecting Trade and Standards.
Indeed.
And we've got you instead. Just introduce yourself.
I'm Daniel Taylor from Age UK Isle of Wight, and I run our digital inclusion project, which sounds fancy, but in a nutshell, I teach older people how to use IT.
Brilliant. We've got lots to talk about.
We have.
But, you know, why ain't Trading Standards here as well? Because they were going to come as well, weren't they?
Sally was due to come down as well, and we're going to do a bit of a double act, but no, she's been called off, so you've got myself. But we work really closely anyway.
That's fine. Because is it Sally Ash?
Yes, it is.
I never get a word in his ways when she comes in, so I'm glad she's not there.
I'm sure she'll listen in later.
Okay, then. So the reason why you came in, I thought it was yesterday. We missed it, didn't we?
Yeah, it was Safer Internet Day yesterday. So with a focus on staying safe online. So that can cover anything from shopping to dating to you name it. If you're doing something online, it's how to stay safe.
I would imagine that there's a lot of people that think that I'm not going to go online because I open myself up to all sorts of problems and issues. But if it's used correctly and you do protect yourself, you can make your life a hell of a lot easier.
Definitely. I encounter a lot of older people that are nervous of technology. They're nervous of going online. As you said, with the world going online, it's kind of daunting. And it's taking that step and going, right, let's build a bit of confidence and take our time and break it down. You know, you don't have to be doing online banking straight away. Actually, just learn to search for information. And as you said, learning how to do it safely, learning what to look for is really important.
So when you look, what's the biggest problem or what's the biggest thing you have to overcome when you're working with people that you know? And I don't blame them because there are still people that hide their money under their bed and they're not just people of a certain age either.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you overcome that?
For me, I've learned over the last 4 years of running the project, it's building confidence is really, really important. You know, taking your time and answering the silly questions, you know, and creating that safe environment to learn has been really important.
What worries me is that every now and again we get a little jolt and something else comes apparent. You know, there's something, some other con out there, thing that we've got to keep our eyes at. I mean, yeah, you're hearing all these things about, my mum's got a couple of, I want to say it, but I don't want to trigger everybody who's at home because I'm very conscious of, you know, I'll just say it. Yep. They've got Alexas and they've got Echoes as well.
Indeed.
And do they listen to us?
I've actually asked one, are you listening to me? And it said no. I think they listen out for keywords from what I can tell from internet forums and that kind of thing. You know, they are listening for the word Alexa, as it were. And there's other ones out there as well. But yeah, I'd hope it wasn't listening to your full conversation.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's a whole lot of trust here.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that's the one thing you have to, like somebody, you're going into someone's house or you go and meet with people. Yep. They have to trust you.
Definitely.
You know, you've been checked and so on and so forth. Yep. So they have to trust. So it is based on a relationship with the internet that you have to trust.
Definitely.
So, but you've always got to be in control of that. How do they stay in control?
I think there's lots of elements of it. I would say if we break it down, so if you approach me in the street and you said, what's your PIN number for your bank? I'm going to turn around and say no instantly. Who are you? Why are you asking me to hit that? And then you try and put that into an internet term. So when you get an email, you turn around and say, what are they actually asking you for? Who is it that's asking for that information and why?
Yeah.
And if you're sat there going, well, actually, I don't know, then that's immediately kind of an alarm bell ringing. And, you know, if it's asking for personal information, well, you're in charge of your personal information. You know, you choose who you give that to. And it's getting people to realise these little steps of going, hang a minute, what am I being asked to do? And just taking a pause. And I always say to people, emails aren't urgent. You know, you can choose to leave it and actually seek advice from someone. So whether you believe it might be a scam and you get in touch with Trade and Standards, or whether it may be a case of going, actually, I don't really know how to use emails. And therefore getting in touch with a provider like ourselves and saying, actually, can I have a bit of training and build this kind of knowledge up gradually?
It's a lovely thing watching people that haven't grown up with technology and watching them have a give it a go, because they're right. That is embrace it, because it can work for you.
Yeah.
And you've obviously got the issues of trying to get them to trust you and believe what they, you know, and so on. And we still, I mean, there's a guy. I mean, I make this point most times when people come in and talk about this.
Yeah.
We've got a guy who's, I think he's 65 now, and he never wanted a phone where you have to put in your card number.
Yeah.
So he won't have apps, mm-hmm. he won't have things like that.
Yep.
And as soon as you get to that point, we need your card number.
Yep.
And you explain that thing where if you just give the card number, it's a bit like putting your card. If you go out for a meal or go to a pub and you put your card behind the bar, which I guess we still do that.
Yeah.
It's just like that. They ain't having my card.
Yeah.
I said, but you go into a pub and do it. Well, yeah, that's not a problem, is it?
Yeah.
I can see where my card is. And I said, yeah, but you can still see where your card is. Mm-hmm. You just give them, you know, details so that if you do purchase something, it just takes and it cuts out the time. And, and you know, it's, I think that's a fair point. But at the same time, you just cut your nose off to spite your face now, which is sad.
Yeah, I think it's learning as well how to do it safely. So what to look for. And if you're doing online shopping, it's looking for things like the padlock or the HTTPS. And I know it sounds strange over the internet, over the radio, and people might be going, what on earth's that? And again, if they're unsure, get in touch, because then we can go through it. You know, online banking, for example, people are quite nervous of and unsure of. And I sat with someone recently and said, I'm not doing online banking, a bit like the card. And I said, but if you go into your branch, they're using online to do your transactions anyway. It's just you're not in control of it. You know, you're relying on the teller behind the counter to do it for you. So it's getting people to realise actually a lot of stuff is done online now, whether it's yourself doing it or someone else doing it for you.
Tell us about your day yesterday, because obviously it was the day yesterday, and I think a little bit was, you know, it wasn't enough. I think it should have had a week.
Yeah.
Should have had a week of it. Obviously, we've extended it by a day anyway. So just tell us how your day went yesterday.
For me, it was quite busy in the office, actually, planning around trying to promote the project. It was a lot of kind of admin-based, rather than me running around the island shouting from the rooftop, stay safe online. I had a look online and at what was good day. A lot of work goes on in schools, particularly, around keeping children safe online. While my project is based for 50 plus, actually, there might be a lot of people out there who've got grandkids or younger members of the family. So it does have a good crossover. And it was kind of trying to spread that common sense message of, you know, be safe, look for the telltale signs. If you're unsure, go and seek advice from somewhere, whether it be train standards or, you know, someone like myself.
What's the biggest issue that people have then? When obviously there's scam emails. We've read about the scam email regarding TV licenses very recently. Mm-hmm. So what others are there to look at?
From my point of view, I've come across a lot of telephone scams. So a case of someone ringing you up and saying, well, there's a problem with your internet, there's a problem with your computer, I'm more than happy to help you through it, I just need you to log in. And at that point, someone's alarm should be ringing in their head. You know, why am I being asked to log into my computer? And that's definitely a scam I've seen quite a bit of throughout my time in the project. Or I always say to people, just turn around and say you don't have one. I know it sounds ridiculous, or if you're unsure, it might be BT or TalkTalk or whoever you're with. Say, no, I'm going to hang up on you, and do, and then give it an hour or so, and then actually call them on the number that's on your bill. And if they turn around and say, no, we're never going to, you know, ask you to log in like that, then you can be pretty certain you've managed to stop yourself falling victim to a scam. I've seen the kind of lasting effects of that sort of scam, and they're quite significant. A lady that I supported is scared of the phone now because of that kind of scam. So the key thing is, if you ever have someone ringing up saying, I need you to log in, I need you to do this, I'm from your bank, I'm from your telephone provider, just hang up, say no.
Can you protect yourself better on the telephone then by having some kind of system in place that intercepts certain calls?
Yeah, definitely. So train standards do a call blocker for people who are having persistent calls, you know, multiple times a day. There are telephone providers that provide them. So, for example, Sky and TalkTalk, I'm aware of, that do their own.
Yeah.
So I've set one up for my own grandma recently on Sky that she's with. And it's great, because actually what it's done is it's completely stopped all the calls. It's basically an electronic system that intercepts that phone call. It makes them say who they are, and then it rings through, and then you can choose whether to accept it or block it. She's even blocked me by mistake.
Right.
But at least I know it's there, and actually we can undo that anyway.
And we should point out as well that it's not just landlines that you would get a dodgy phone call from.
No, it's mobiles as well. I've had them myself. You hear people claim that I've been in an accident, all them kind of phone calls. You know, hang on.
What do you say? What's the best one? We should make a show of this. What's the best one ever? That, you know, when somebody says that, you've been in an accident in the last 2 years.
Yep.
You know, there's all sorts of things that we can cleverly do. I mean, in the past, we've just sort of said, yes, you're absolutely right. Just hang on there, and I'll be able to talk to you in a moment. Mm. And you just leave them on,
yeah.
You know, hanging on. And then you go back about an hour later, and you know, I don't know whether they've hung up or not. But I mean, you know, there must be something clever that we can say.
I've had one on the landline where I've told them I'm going through a tunnel.
Oh, really?
So,
well, there was this guy, there was this wine salesman once. Mm. He wouldn't leave me alone. Made the mistake of buying mm-hmm. some wine.
Yep.
And then about 3 years later, he kept phoning up and saying, do you want to, you know, buy some wine? And in the end, I said, stop, leave me alone. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm not really, by the way. Okay. But he never phoned back after that.
I think as well, it's quite an important thing around GDPR. So, you know, you are in control of your data due to that new law. And if you are, have
stop
done,
right there. What is GDPR? Because there'll be people out there going, what is that? What's it talking about?
General Data Protection Act. So essentially, it's keeping your data safe. So if in your example, you've signed up and had some wine years and years ago. They've kept your details on record. If they ring you up again and you choose that you don't want them to have, you've got that right to be forgotten. I won't go into all of them because there's a huge list of things that you've got rights to. But it's that key thing of you are, you know, in charge of your own data, who you give it to. You've got that right to turn around and say, actually, I want to be deleted from your records. I want to be forgotten, as it were.
Yeah.
So it's just having that kind of awareness more than anything.
You got a grandma.
I have.
And what's her biggest fear?
Getting something wrong in terms of computing, yeah. She's going, oh, I'm always pressing the wrong button. I always say to her, just pause and think. You know, what are you being asked to do? So if it's something that's popped up on the screen, read it. If it's asking you to click here and do this and do that, then just leave it and give me a call. And she's quite fortunate to be able to do so. Or I'll pop round. I always say to her, nothing's that urgent. You know, if you've had a phone call and someone's claiming to be from a certain company or that, and you hang up, oh, well, if it's that important, they'll write to you in a letter.
What's the biggest fear that you have for her?
Being a victim of a scam, I think, is the key one. And as much as I can impart my knowledge, and I've even been close to falling victim myself through these kind of emails that come through. And it's always that moment of going, before I click and you know, go to whatever step it's telling me to, or it's just having that thought and going, actually, why am I doing this? What am I being asked to do?
Yeah.
And so this example is I'm subscribed to Spotify, which is a music streaming service online. There's others available. And
you've done this before.
I've heard it enough on the radio. Try not to plug other companies. But so, you know, I subscribe to that and I pay per month. And I had an email come through that was quite timely. I'd subscribed for 3 months for a certain offer. And it said, oh, your credit card hasn't gone through. Click here to, you know, renew your details. And I nearly clicked on it because I was like, oh, no, I don't want to lose it. And I paused and went, hang on a minute. So I logged into my bank account online, which obviously if I didn't have online banking, I could ring. And I just sort of had a look through and went, oh, no, the payment's gone out.
Yeah.
So why are they now telling me they can't take the payment because my credit card hasn't changed? And that was that kind of key step of going, if there's something I'm being told is wrong with an accountant, logging in and checking. And you know, I've kind of reiterated that to my own grandma and all the people that I've supported over time.
So what did you do at that point?
I marked the email as junk,
right.
And got rid of it. You can report these emails. And it is important to. And I will do it at some point. I'll go through my inbox as normal and report it to Action Fraud, which is run by the police. I think they're based up in London, if I remember rightly. And they sift through and they won't come back to you and say, oh, thank you, you've stopped X, Y, and Z from happening to other people. But they'll build it as intelligence. And if there are lots of people, like the TV licensing scam that you mentioned, you know, TV licensing might then post that on their website and so to try and make people aware of it, or they might send out information to local trading standards and say, this is doing the rounds at the moment, please be aware of this email. So it's kind of that big intelligence pool that you're kind of contributing to.
Would it be fair to say that although it's scary, and you if there are scammers out there, which we know there are, they are more sinister and more nasty than you could ever imagine with the way that they do things, but you are always in control.
Indeed. I always say to people when I have these kind of chats, because I do a stay and safe online part of an iPad course that I run, and I always say to people at the start, I'm not telling you this to scare you off using technology, because actually it's amazing. So I always go back to my grandma for an example, because we've used a lot of technology around keeping in touch with her.
How old is your old grandma?
She is in her 70s.
Right, okay, so she's the perfect age.
Yeah, definitely. So I've used a Wi-Fi camera within the home, so she can monitor it. So my grandfather, unfortunately, has Alzheimer's, and he's at risk of falling. So what we've done is set up a couple of cameras that just she can access in the home. And if she's in the kitchen doing dinner, she can take her iPad with her, and she can see my grandfather on the screen. And if he goes to get up, she's not having to run around the corner of the flat every time.
Yeah.
She can see the only time he gets up, she'll actually go round. So technology can be used in a whole range of good ways. And we've got her on a family WhatsApp group. So WhatsApp, for those who don't know, is essentially a kind of place where you can chat with each other and share photos and videos. If I send a message to her, all the family can see it as well. So she feels a lot more included.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, because my grandfather's Alzheimer's, they can't go out and about as easy as you or I could walk out of the office today. So actually, it's really, really important, that side of technology. So when I'm chatting to people, I'm saying, look, there are some amazing things it can do. But it's just having that awareness and some of them key points of staying safe.
Really sad that she has to do that, but fantastic that she can.
Yeah, definitely.
To look at, I mean, it's great that she's embraced that, being able to, check on and so on and so forth. So that is really, she sounds like she's really taken to it.
She certainly has. And she still has them moments of going, I'm not sure what I've pressed, I'm not sure what I've done. But the key thing is she rings me. And she asks actually for that information. And if you haven't got, you know, a grandson or a son or daughter or whoever or family member that is able to do it like I can for my grandma, you know, that's what the project's here for. If you're over 50 and stuck on technology, just give us a call. I've got lovely volunteers that visit people in their own homes for simple tasks. I go out and do tuition. So there's a whole range of support out there. And it's just giving us a phone call.
What a brilliant thing.
Thank you.
Because, you know, honestly, that is such a brilliant thing, because you know that, you know, we should remember that these people didn't grow up with this.
No.
So for them to be brave enough and take the step and find out about it, I think is exceptional. And they should be encouraged.
Definitely.
They should be helped and supported and so on. Because you look at young Oscar out there, he's 16. He's grown up with this technology malarkey. Yep. I'm of an age now where, you know, half of my life I haven't had technology and the other half I have. But everything I've learned through just, well, making your own mistakes.
Yeah, definitely.
And the sad thing is yes, if you do make a mistake, sometimes it may, not all the time, it may lead to a big issue, a big problem.
Yeah, it can
and
do.
You just need to be aware of that.
Mm.
There's so many things I want to ask you. I'm frustrated at the language that we use when we, you know, just... It can't help sometimes when they talk of things and they use a term and you think, well, it doesn't actually mean what you're saying.
Definitely. If we take the term browser, for example, which sounds odd, it sounds like it should be a name of an animated cartoon.
Yeah.
I've tried to come up with ways of almost reflecting back to the olden days of doing something. So I say to people, well, imagine a browser is a library building. So it's the name of your building, and we're going to call it Chrome, for example. Doesn't actually mean an awful lot. And when you walk into this library building called Chrome, you're asking a librarian for information. Now, that librarian could have any name. It could be Bing, it could be Google, it could be Yahoo, and some of these people may have heard of. And essentially, when you ask a question, they go off and find the information and they come back with it in a big long list that you then sift through. And when you start to break it down into these kind of steps of identifying a browser as a name of a building that you're going into for information, people start to be able to understand that. And it helps kind of that learning journey. There are so many terms out there of jargon, and I try and just always keep things simple. And that's the key thing for teaching anyone something new. I don't need to know the ins and outs of how it works inside the computer. All I need to know is actually where the on button is.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
I don't need to know it's got a motherboard in there and all the rest of it. All I need to know is it's got a brain. And and it's that kind of simple language. And once people build that confidence and understand that, oh, I click on this bit, great, and I click here and type the information that I want to find out, you can then start explaining why and what it is and the names of it if they're interested.
A motherboard. See that? What, a motherboard? Not an iron board. No, a motherboard.
I mean,
honestly, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
The more we think about it, the more silly it becomes.
Yep.
Because we don't half use some stupid terms.
Indeed.
I mean, floppy disks.
That's going back a while.
Hard drive. I mean, you know, I'm not being funny, but hard drive. Why don't they just call it a cupboard or something? In the cupboard. Well, it's storage space in the cupboard.
I suppose with anything new, there's always got to be a new term, isn't there?
Well, I just, in some ways, that they've made it more complicated than it should be. Yeah. And what they should have realised is that, yes, there's a whole generation here that need to pick up on this, and we need to make it as easy as possible. And I just think sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. Well, you said WhatsApp. I mean, I know what WhatsApp is, but I mean, what? I mean, of a certain age, you're going to go, well, what is that?
Yeah.
What is it? And WhatsApp?
Yeah, definitely. And again, it's just taking that time to go, actually, what it does is it allows you to communicate with someone by writing something down or sending a photo or picture or video. And it just makes it a lot easier to understand. But yeah, there are a lot of times. I'm always having to learn myself and trying to stay ahead of the curve. So I don't think you ever stop learning technology. And for younger people, they're growing up with it. And
see, now you're doing it now. You're ahead of the curve. I'm looking that up. What's that mean?
Trying to stay one step ahead. So for me, I can teach other people a whole range of technology that's available now.
Yeah.
But actually what's coming next is the key thing I need to ask myself. So I've touched on smart technology, and that's something as a project and as a charity we're interested in looking into further. Because there's a whole range of support out there for people that's technology-based. So I've mentioned the Wi-Fi cameras, being able to keep an eye on a loved one, for example, through that. Or these doorbells now that you can actually see who's outside your door. Now, if you struggle with mobility in your home, being able to have someone appear on a screen next to you so you can physically see who's knocking at your door.
Yeah.
It just gives you that extra level of safety of not having to go, oh my goodness, I'm going to rush to the front door now. I'm going to put myself at risk of falling over. And by the time I get there, because it takes me a while, someone's left anyway. If you could have just answered it on a camera, then actually it's a lot easier. So it's that sort of assistive technology. It's not designed to remove, the need to go to the front door, but actually it can help.
If you are wanting help, advice, how do we get hold of you?
So for myself, I'm based at Age UK Isle of Wight. The best way to get hold of me is via our telephone, which is 525282. If you need any support from trading standards, so particularly if you're a victim of a fraud or a scam, their telephone number is 823371.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll repeat them numbers later on in the
show.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Are you sticking around?
I will too, yeah.
You said you're only going to be here for a little
while. Oh, I've settled into it.
You've enjoyed yourself now.
I am. No, it's always an interesting conversation, technology.
Should we take a break then and we'll come back?
Yeah, definitely.
And then what have we still got on your list of things to do?
I've got some kind of key tips around staying safe online. Again, we'll repeat the contact numbers in case you need us. And I'm sure we'll digress onto other ways that technology can support people and some of the work the project's been doing.
All right. Okay, all of that and more coming your way. Stick around as we'll come around and rob you. We won't really. I'll just chuck that in.
Radio with the community at heart. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
The Breeze Restaurant at Island Harbour Marina in Newport are pleased to announce their winter warmers. Two meals for only £15 all day from Monday to Thursday. There's cottage pie and fish pie, both served with fresh vegetables, linguine bolognese and garlic ciabatta, corn chili con carne with sour cream and tortillas, and chicken and leek pie with mash and peas. And on Fridays and Saturdays, they're offering two pizzas for only £15, and you can eat in or take away. So come to the Breeze Restaurant at Island Harbour Marina in Newport and try out their bargains for 2019.
With 99.1% of customers rating the service provided by PC Consultants as excellent, it's not surprising that we're the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support. Our service is award-winning, and after 25 years in business, our 20-strong team of IT professionals have over 325 years of accumulated experience. Another reason why you should talk to us about supporting your business. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
Did you love albums and the sound of music on vinyl? Head up to Paul and Tao Music Lounge for a great selection of vintage vinyl and CDs from across the decades, guitars and accessories. We're at the top of Ryde High Street near St John's Hill. We buy and sell records, so pop in and show us your collection. Sit and chat and relax with a coffee. We're open from 9 until 5 from Tuesday to Saturday. And you can call us on 07905 536 541. And if you like a bit of Elvis, this is the place to go.
Retinitis pigmentosa is a disease of the eye that leads to loss of vision, blindness. It causes the retina, the light-sensitive part of the eye, to degenerate and sight to be lost. RP Fighting Blindness works hard to stimulate and fund cutting-edge research to find a cure or treatment. The local RP Fighting Blindness group on the Isle of Wight has been established since 2006. If you live on the island and you'd like to get involved, please contact Colin MacArthur at toptalk.net or make a donation at www.rpfightingblindness.org.uk/IOW.
The average radio station has 500 tracks on a rolling playlist. We have over 5,000. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Well, I've got an interesting guest in the studio. It's Danny. Daniel.
Either.
Okay. And you're in from Age UK.
Yep.
And you were going to be joined by Sally from Trading Standards as well, but she's gone down a pub instead. We were having a conversation. Obviously, this comes from yesterday. Yesterday was Internet
Safer Internet Day.
And you know, this is aimed at people that are over 50 because that's what you guys are all about. I mean, we're just talking about Facebook, social media.
We were.
And, you know, this is obviously, it's not new to them, but, you know, it's been around for about, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years. But I would imagine there'd be more and more people of a certain age that are going on Facebook, and you were just giving us some good advice on how to stay safe.
Definitely. So I always try and explain things in simple terms. So we were having a conversation a minute ago about Facebook and your profile, so your information on that page. And how would I explain how, you know, privacy works for it? So picture the front of your house. If you've got an open profile where your front door is open, your windows are open, and someone could just walk in, they can see all your friends and family and who, you know, who's in there. They can see your pet dog pictures. They can see everything. You can then make it a bit more secure. You could lock the front door, but you might leave your windows open. So people can have a look in. They can see certain information, but they haven't been able to just have a free rein. And then you can be even more private. You could draw the curtains. You could lock all the hatches. You could, you know, lock your front gate so people can still see it's your profile, as in it's your house, but they can't see anything inside it. And then when you have that kind of breakdown of conversation with someone, they can go, oh, I'd like it to be this one or this one.
Yeah.
Particularly people who work in sectors where they need to remain private. So, for example, you might be a police officer. You would choose to have your profile very much locked down and private, so you're not just being added by anyone. It's kind of breaking it down and making sure people know what the privacy is and how to set it up. And when I've helped people get onto Facebook for the first time, that's one of the really important things to go through with people. I often see people don't take the time to explain it like that, and they just go, oh, we've set you up, we put some photos on, oh, this is how you add some people, and off they go. And it can be quite daunting, so it's a case of taking it step by step,
and they're giving all this information and not really knowing that they're actually giving that information away. Which, you know, they come from an age that they don't generally give that information, but with walking in totally blind, there it is, there's a picture of my front door, there's a picture of my house, there's a picture of these people and that person, and that is kind of scary. And you do have to think safety.
Definitely
lock up that house. It's a great way of putting it.
Thank you.
I like that. if more and more people did it, I mean, I think it'd be better, because you give up so much of yourself.
Definitely. You may have remembered an advert a while ago on TV. I think it was one of the major banks that had kind of put it together, and that was all around sort of staying safe in terms of what information could someone get if they just Googled your name. And a lot of it, you know, if you've got an open Facebook profile, they can find your birth date, so they've got one key piece of information. They already know your first name and surname. You know, they can then flick through and go, oh, you've got a dog called Fluffy. Oh, okay, a lot of people use pet names as passwords.
You're sneaky too, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'd not thought of that.
So,
how did you know I had a dog, a cat called Fluffy?
You know, well, when you popped out, I had to check if your unlocked computer then.
I did have a cat called Fluffy, but three Fs.
Okay.
Three Fs. Let's put this to the test. What's your full name? Can you give that out on the airwaves?
I'll give you my first name and surname, because that's on our website. Anyways, it's Daniel Taylor.
Daniel, oh crikey, that's going to come up with so many Daniel.
It is.
So you're all right, you're safe.
And again,
it's
that key thing of going, do you know what, actually, I'm in charge of my personal information.
Yeah.
I don't need to give you my middle name.
There's a Daniel Taylor, American actor, there's a journalist as well, but Daniel Taylor, if we put in Isle of Wight, okay, because this is how easy it is. If you wanted to know something, Daniel Taylor, Isle of Wight, what comes up? There ain't a picture of you.
Nope.
No, there's a picture assistant development officer. That's you.
That is.
That is you. You're the first one that comes up.
Now, the reason for that is it's linked to our website. So, again, if you're on a website for work purposes, if you're Googling information, Google basically searches websites for key things. So what you've done is you've found my workplace. Now, that's quite well known because actually I've been in the paper. I've been in the, you know, the news locally for various bits of the project. But you won't find out personal information from it.
Right.
You'll know I work there. That's no secret.
Yeah.
And if I didn't want you to know it, I wouldn't be on the radio right now.
But that's, I mean, in a way, that's quite a good thing as well, isn't it? Because then you can check out if you're expecting somebody to come round.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Daniel's coming around to show. Mm-hmm. You can actually go online and you can actually find a picture of you and think, well, you're not the person that I've just looked at.
Yeah.
Unless you've been ill recently, I mean, it works both ways.
It does, and actually, you know, if in doubt, you know, you can always ring places. So there was a recent thing around people turn up at the front door, so cold calling, which train standards deal with rather than myself directly, and people will turn up and say, "Oh, I'm so and so from the gas thing, and here's my ID." They'll flash it in front of you, and what they'll have done is they'll put numbers on there that if you ring them from the ID badge, it might go to someone they've already set up to be that helpful person who verifies their identity. So if you're unsure, you know, having things like a chain lock on your door and answering, or, you know, asking who they are, okay, I'm just going to shut the door and I'm going to ring up using my bill. And if, you know, BT turn around and say, actually, no, we haven't got a worker who's scheduled in your area with that name, don't let them in. And if you're scared, obviously, you know, there is 999 for if you genuinely are under threat and feel scared of that kind of situation. But the key thing would be to report it, whether it be, you know, in slow time to train standards or there and then to catch that cold caller.
Let's be honest, who should knock your door when it comes down to it? I mean, you know, I look at it and I think, right, okay, who's going to knock your door? Gas and electric might come around to read your meter if you've got that facility. If not, and they knock on your door, then you just tell them to clear off politely. Politely clear off.
Indeed.
Water. Again, you can do that yourself. They can drop a card in, you can do it and send it away. Who else should actually knock your door?
There's not a lot of people, really, when you come to think of it. Obviously, the postman's going to deliver post, or you might have a parcel delivered. There was a recent scam around parcel delivery, mainly kind of targeting big organisations a while ago, where someone knocks on your door and says, oh, you Mrs. Jones. They know you're not. And you go, no. Oh, I've got a parcel for you. Definitely not. Oh, can I borrow your landline? At which point they'll ring a premium number and bill your account. And the number they're ringing is obviously one they've set up. So I think it goes back to that key bit of advice of, you know, answering the door with your chain lock. If you're not sure of it, you don't have to answer it. You're not obligated to open your front door if you're uncertain of who is there. And just making sure that you kind of have that bit of safety of, actually, I'm not letting you in my property because I don't know who you are. I don't trust who you are. I'm going to ring the company you say you're from. You know, you are entitled to do that.
Okay, going back to same sort of thing, locking the door in your email facility. Is there do they all come with facilities to stop the best way you can, you know, not so much spam but the naughty spam, you know, the spam that you don't want that might cause you grief? Is there some setups better than others, easier to use?
It's difficult because I think there are a lot of providers out there who provide emails, and there's some big names out there that are, from a teaching point of view, I've used. So I think the key thing is, when you look at an email address, imagine it like your letterbox to your front door. You're in charge of who you give your address to.
Yeah.
And I say to people, you can have more than one email address. So when we're setting people up, you know, obviously getting used to one to start with is important, but you can then set up a second one. And the first one you just give to your friends and family. You might do it for just your banking, for example, and maybe a bit of online shopping. The rest of it, so your other email, is for everything else. So if someone turns up and says, in a shop, oh, we'll give you 10% off if you give us an email address, of course I want 10% off. You know, it's easy to type in an email address. So I'll give them my kind of trash email, as it were, my other one that I don't really check. And actually, if I start getting rubbish dropped in there, I'll just delete it and I'll set up another new one. And that's one kind of sensible way of doing it. So imagine if it's your front door, one postbox for all your important stuff, and the other postbox is for all the leaflets, the rubbish. So that's a good way of kind of balancing that, you know, using email, but trying to protect yourself a little bit. And again, it's who you're giving it out to. So when I've rang various companies for bits and bobs, and they're saying, oh, you know, can we take down some details? I always turn around and say, I don't give you permission to send marketing or to pass my details on to third parties.
Mm.
And by telling them that, they're obligated to do that, because it's that data protection that we were talking about earlier, and, you know, actually protecting your information and doing what you've asked them to do with it.
Okay, I just want to, because things are popping into my head now, yeah. and I'm just thinking, why would people have, especially if, just say for instance, they've set up an email account, mm-hmm. they've got their grandchildren, they've got their family and close friends and so on, all of a sudden they get an email out of the blue from mm-hmm. a particular company that is a scam.
Yeah,
how would they get hold of their email, and what's the best way of being able to get that point across, mm-hmm. how they've got their email and how you can protect yourself from it?
That's a difficult question, that one. As I said earlier, if you've signed up to various newsletters, schemes, that kind of thing, and you haven't ticked the box that said do not pass my details on, unfortunately that'll get sold on. Some places, I don't know, say you'd signed up to a gambling website as an example, that isn't well known, they might have a normal policy of passing on your email address. So it's kind of, the first thing is protecting where you're giving out your email address to. And if you do start getting lots of scams, sort of emails coming in, you can just delete your old email address. I know it's a little bit of a faff, but actually there's no harm in setting up another one. It's really difficult to say where it is. It's not like they end up on a big long list somewhere that people are buying in bulk. It's quite difficult to say exactly where they're kind of intercepted.
It's kind of, you know, I know it's really quite scary, and this is how it works. But if you go online and you search for things, you get certain things mm-hmm. that have a look at your computer, and that's how they get your email address and they send you. Because my worry would be, just say for instance, Mildred, dear old Mildred, she sets up an email account, and 3 months later she's only got three people that emails her, but all of a sudden she gets an email from a particular company that is a bit of a scam. They've got their details somehow, because they've been passed on. Now, because she hasn't got that many, she might be thinking, oh, they must know me.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would they send something to my address? Yeah.
I think the guard comes down. One key bit of advice I picked up a while ago was, when people set up your email address to start with, if you don't include your name in your email address, so let's take the word Fluffy, for example. We'll say our email address is fluffy12@madeup.com.
How do you know it was that?
Well, I've checked it earlier. So we've got an email address that does not contain our personal information that way.
Right.
So if you receive an email, they can't address it to you because they don't know who you are, if that makes sense.
Right.
Whereas if your email was mildred@whatever.com, they would know your name's Mildred, and they can immediately personalise it. Now, when something's personalised to us, we start to think, oh, they must know us, like you said.
Yeah.
And therefore, the guard drops a little bit. The key thing is reading what they're asking you for. Now, some emails are going to be very obvious. It's going to say, I'm Bob from Uganda, and you've won our Ugandan lottery, or whatever it might be, or whatever country. Immediately, like, if you've never entered the competition, you haven't won it.
Yeah.
I was trying to get that across. You know, you don't just win things. There's always a catch. They always want details. They always want you to prove you're over 18 with a credit card, which you can then see the scam of that. So it's that key thing of, what am I being asked? If it says it's from your bank, and, you know, banks do email generally to say, you know, there's been updates to terms and conditions, but if it's genuine, they'll ask you to log into your online banking, or they'll post the information to you.
Right.
They won't ask you ever to click a link to take you somewhere else, and they won't ask you to reveal your PIN number or other personal information or security information through email. So it's that key thing of, if in doubt, log into wherever it is that you're using. So if we had an email from Amazon, for example, and we thought, oh, it says we're just about to dispatch your logs and log order of £300, but we need to confirm your security information. Oh God, I haven't ordered logs. Oh my goodness, I must log in and make this cancel away. Immediately, I'm going, right, I'm going to log into Amazon's website and check my recent orders. And I guarantee there'll be nothing about logs in there.
No, sure.
Bit of a random object to pick.
Would you advise then people that were setting up, it doesn't matter how old you are, would you advise them if they were setting up a new account, a new email account, not to put their name in and definitely not put their year in? Because I'm just thinking now that, I mean, I've got a Gmail account that says Ian Mac 1965. Well, it's quite clear that, you know, that was the year that I was born. Mm-hmm. So now you know the year that I was born. Yep. You know that that might be used as a password. It's not.
Yeah.
But you know, I wouldn't be that daft. But other people wander into this and give away that information without even thinking. Mm. So all of a sudden, Bill.Giles, 1935. Yep. You think, right, okay, I now know your name and I now know when you were born.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Now it
That's
narrows
a lot
it down.
Of information.
Yeah. It narrows it down a little bit. So, if you know, as we did earlier when we just Googled my name, it only came up because of the job title and that kind of stuff with the Isle of Wight. If you were to Google my name with my year of birth, there's still going to be a lot of Dan Taylors with the same year of birth. So living on the island, maybe not so much. So it narrows it down a little bit. So, yeah, it is best practice to try and avoid having that key information in an email address to keep you safe. The other thing you touched on was passwords. Or mentioned. So passwords are the bane of everyone's lives. We are told to have a password with big letters, small letters, numbers, symbols. It shouldn't contain, you know, simple words, or it needs to be an X amount long. And it can be difficult for people to remember them. I went through a recent kind of phase of trying to find easier ways to remember them. And one of the bits of advice I picked up on was three random objects. And this was from the Met Police video, actually. And what it said to do is basically where you sat in your room or whatever, picture three objects that you can see. So in the studio here, we might have the window to my left, the sign behind you, and the microphone. So we've got three random words that we can put capital letters at the start of each one. And when I'm explaining this over the radio, it probably sounds quite daunting. But actually, if you were to write it down, it's quite simple. So we've got our three random words. Pick a date. So let's pick 2018, for example. And pick a symbol. So that could be a star. Therefore, I've just made an incredibly long password that is relatively easy to remember, because all I've got to do is picture where I was sat when I made it. So I've got my three objects. And the date, which you're going to, you know, pick something that's memorable but not your year of birth.
Right, definitely. Definitely don't do that.
Yeah, and therefore you've got a very long password that satisfies the fact that we need big letters and small letters. We've got numbers and a symbol. And it's a lot easier to remember rather than trying to pick just random letters and numbers and have it all jumbled up. And then you sit there going, what on earth was my password? You can reset them. And the key thing with a password reset is it goes to your email address. So if you have a weak email address password, people can get into that and then reset your account. So the biggest bit of advice I can give people is create a good, strong password that you know. And, you know, if you can use different ones for different things, it's best practice to. You know, if you're going to write it down, don't store it with the computer on a sticky note next to it in a book that's marked passwords.
How do you know I do that?
Well,
but we've got so many to remember. That's the problem.
There are ways of keeping them secure. So some websites will offer to remember them for you.
Yeah.
And they'll keep them secure. And so, you know, so there are ways of doing it. So again, the key thing is, if you're unsure, rather than just making up a quick password, just seek some advice, whether it be from a family member or friend, or come to a project like myself where, you know, we're impartial and we can help people sort out that kind of side of things.
Do you know, I'm just, you know, just doing a little check that if somebody gives you a call and you weren't too sure about, I've always said to people in the past, you can always type in that number into Google or other search engines and that will probably come up. And I've just put mine in. Well, mine is details on the website, so it's going to come up straight away. There's all this stuff about me.
Yep.
But I'm just checking out the wife now, okay? I'm just, now, I know she's not on Facebook. She's not on social media at all. And I'm just checking her out to see what actually does come back. Hopefully I've got the number right. And there's no... Well, there's no mention of her, so she's quite sort of safe, we think, although... It does say that she's on a particular company, which I know that she is. But there's no name there, so she's fairly well protected. But it just, so for instance, if I was to type in, if you went round to somebody's house and they thought, he looked a bit shifty. I'm going to check him out. And he phoned me on this number. You could actually type in that number and your name would come up.
Potentially, yeah. So, for example, HUK Isle of Wight's number, if you were to type that into a search engine, Google, for example, it would come up as our office. If you do type in numbers that have cold called you, sometimes it will, you know, other people have put the same information on the internet and they'll say, well, this number rang me, I think it's a cold call.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll type it in and you won't know. I think that it goes back to that key bit of advice of, if you don't know who it is and they're asking for information about you, whether it be banking, whether it be personal information, whether it be a problem with your computer, actually stop and think, who are they? Who are they? Even if they tell me they're from my internet provider, you don't have to give them any information at all. Hang up on them. Or tell them you don't have a computer is one way to go about it.
Yeah, but if they turn around and say, yes, we know that you have a computer and we know exactly where it is.
Hang up.
Hang up and pull the curtains. Yeah,
definitely. You know, they will use, especially with these kind of cold calls, the language they will use will be very, very persuasive. It will sometimes be quite aggressive in the manner it's done. So it'll make you kind of sit on the back foot immediately. You feel like you're being told what to do.
Yeah.
And it's that key thing, have the confidence to hang up and say no. And therefore, that's the best defence you can have. If you can go one step further, and as we said right at the beginning of the show, have a call blocker, even better. And if you're unsure of how to go about that, either give myself a ring or give Trading Standards a ring, and we'll give you the number at the end of the show.
We're coming up to the end.
We're coming up to the end. That's gone very quick. So if you want to get hold of myself, based at HUK Isle of Wight, on 525282. If you need to get hold of Trading Standards, they are on 823371.
And you can check out websites as well.
Indeed, yeah, we're online. So if you go onto HUK Isle of Wight's website, we're on there. And equally, if you go onto the council website, you'll be able to find Trading Standards within the council website as well.
Do you have any cookies on your website?
We probably do.
So do you want to just quickly explain cookies?
Yeah, of course. So the easiest way I can explain cookies is when we're walking around this virtual, let's call it the library building. So we're wandering around the internet and we're searching for different information. And say we've gone into a website like, I don't know, Argos, and we've been looking at microwaves. When you visit other websites, you might see advertising based on what you've looked at before, and that's because you've left this trail of cookies, cookie crumbs as you've walked around. That's the easiest way to explain it.
Very quickly, how do we get rid of them?
You can go into your settings and delete cookies from there. And again, I won't try and explain it over the radio because it's different for everyone, but there are ways of denying them and getting rid of them.
Hey, look, fantastic. Thanks for coming in.
No, thank you.
Been
for
really,
me.
Really interesting. Cheers. And you've got to come back again at some
Certainly, point. Certainly,
yeah, I'd love to. And next time we'll let Sally have a word.
Definitely.
We'll untie her from the cupboard and get her in. And yeah. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you very much.